maybe somebody here on me today, like a copy of God's written word, extract from the Bible, entitled John's Gospel, offered to you quite freely, yours simply and only for the taking. You'd like a copy of God's word, these things were written, the Bible says, that you might know Jesus, that you might know that he is indeed the Son of God, and that through believing that you might have life, eternal life that is, in his name. You'd like a copy of God's word, do feel free to come and ask for one. Gladly place into your hand. Word of God, of course, as it says, able to impart to us the wisdom of God, not the wisdom of this world, of course, that leads not only to nothing, but leads even to hell. No, the wisdom of God that is much, of course, wiser. Bible says even the foolishness of God is wiser than that of men. Wisdom that leads to salvation, that leads to life eternal, that leads to forgiveness, reconciliation to God, knowledge of God, and a bond, covenant of friendship. Alienated now from God because of your sin, because of your lawless deeds, but of course, through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that of course can be dealt with, reconciled to God through his love in sending his Son, Jesus Christ, into the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes, trust in him, that is, should not perish, but have eternal, everlasting life. Word of God, my friends, God's own testimony, his own record concerning his Son, how that God, in his love and grace, sent his Son in order that a sinner like you, I, that we might be reconciled to God, know, experience his love and grace through Jesus Christ, his Son. He is everything. And what he has done, of course, is everything. Jesus Christ coming into the world, dying on that cross, rising from the dead. Only through him, through his mediation, can a person be right with God, brought into a right standing with God. We need that. Why? Because, naturally speaking, we're not right with God. The very opposite. We come into the world in sin, the Bible says, God says, and of course live and die in sin. But that is for the grace of God, which is received by faith, and faith alone, Christ alone, faith alone, no other way back to God from the dark path of sin. Like to have a copy of God's word, do feel free to come and ask for one. Gladly place into your hand, quite freely. In the book of Psalms, we read today, Psalm 76, to be sure, when God arose to establish judgment to save all the humble of the earth, surely the wrath of man shall praise you, the remnant of wrath you will put on like a belt. Bible speaks here, and of course elsewhere, about the judgments of God. And that, of course, the reason why Well, we need to fly into the arms of His Son, Jesus Christ, the only one who can save us from the present and the coming judgments of God. And of course, that final judgment of God, the day is coming, looms, is very close, I do believe, from my reading of the Bible at least anyway, that day is drawing very near when God will judge all flesh, all humankind. And of course, in order to avert that judgment, well, to be on the right side of it, that is, well, we need Jesus, the mediator, the one who came to reconcile men to God, the one who took the penalty, who paid the price for sin, who took the judgment upon Himself, so that all who put their trust, truly trust in Jesus, that they would avert that judgment day, get a pass, if you like, on that day. Of course, the Bible does speak about, we have the historical record given to us by God in His Word. Reason why I offer you God's written Word. Check it out for yourself. Read God's testimony, His record, concerning all the works of God, that which He has done, the past judgments, delivering His own people out of the hands of the Egyptians way back at the beginning. And how did He do so? Well, by judging the wicked, evil, evil Egyptians. God saves His people, you see, by judging, bringing to destruction the wicked and the ungodly. So you see, in that day when God judges you, well, you don't want to be found, do you? Counted amongst the number of them, the wicked and ungodly, I mean, and unbelieving. You need to be found on His right side, as it were, right with God, through faith in the Son of God, who died and rose again from the dead, in order to save people from that coming judgment. And of course, we have the record of God's dealings with the ancient world, the flood back in Noah's day. And of course, Jesus, He tells us, testifying to that very event, He tells us, you know, that, well, just as it was in the days of Noah, a world full of violence and wickedness, so shall it be, Jesus says, when He, the Son of Man, returns. But back in that day, of course, you see, because of the violence, because of the wickedness of men, well, just as it is in your own violent and wicked society today, no change, because the heart of man hasn't changed. Violence and wickedness is in him continually, all the time, says God. God testifies to man's heart continually, evil only, the thoughts of his heart all the time. So you see, because of that violence and wickedness back in Noah's day, God judged the then world. Its souls, God's people, His family alone were saved in that day because they trusted in God's means of salvation, the ark, which of course you see is a picture, a type, if you like, of Jesus Christ who would come into the world. So that today you see, in order to avert, in order to be saved from the righteous judgment of God, one needs to be found in Jesus Christ by faith, that is, believing into Him, trusting in Him, just as Noah and his family trusted in the ark. But God's judgment, you see, they're replete, you see, in the Bible, God's own record. Then, of course, you got another event in the Bible, the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah that were given over to the same filthiness and uncleanness that your own society today is, the sodomy and lesbianism. Because of that filth and uncleanness, God rained down his judgment, fire and brimstone, destroying the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah because of their perversions, uncleanness, ungodliness, wickedness, sinfulness, unbelief. God judged the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, signifying, of course, well, the greater judgment to come, the final one, when God will judge all men by his Son, Jesus Christ. So you see, my friends, the reasons why God has testified, God has made it clear that he judges wickedness, he judges evil, he brings to justice the wickedness of men. So you see, my friends, I tell you this in order, well, that you might take heed and take the matter seriously and run to Jesus. Put your trust in the Son of God, who alone can save you. Turn God's wrath, holy displeasure from you. Why he died, why he came and died on the cross, his love for sinners. God's love in giving to you and giving the gift of his Son. God so loved the world, he gave the gift of his Son, that whoever does not ignore him, reject him, but whoever believes in him should not perish in the judgment of God, but have eternal everlasting life through faith in the Son of God. The only way by which you can escape the coming judgment. Of course, these are just three examples that I give you. There are many, many more in the Bible. And of course, you have in your own modern day generation today just the same. So like I say, friends, you know, even in recent history, you got events, of course, which unbelief, men in their unbelief, they discard. They put it down to accidents. They put it down to nature, you know, and all kinds of things, you know. But there's nothing, the Bible makes it clear, there's nothing happens in the world that has not been decreed by God. Everything, even the sparrow that falls to the ground in your backyard, the hair that falls from your head, there is nothing happened in God's universe, his world, that has not been ordained of him. And so all these events that take place, the removal of human life from this world, tsunamis and earthquakes, pestilence, even your COVID-19 of these last 2 years. Many, many have been taken out of this world unprepared, unready to face God in judgment. You see, the Bible says, you know, that we shall all appear before the judgment throne of God. It's appointed for man to die by some means, whatever the means might be. But of course, if you're not ready, if you're not prepared, if you haven't repented of your sin, if you haven't believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, well then, my friends, it's too late. There's no way back to God then. It's appointed, you see, for man once to die. After that, immediately after that comes the judgment. Too late then, you see. But many have been the judgments. As I say, tsunamis, earthquakes, storms, car accidents. Many, many means by which God, in a nanosecond, can remove a person, a body, from this world, from their earthly existence into the presence of the judge of all the earth. How many hundreds, how many thousands, how many are dying even now as a result of an unseen virus, COVID-19, the pestilence? It's God, the Bible testifies, who sends the pestilence. And my friends, it takes some to heaven. Those who have believed, who have trusted in Jesus, it takes them immediately to heaven. But those who have not believed, those who have rejected the Son of God, well, it takes them immediately to the other place, the place of punishment, the place of penalty, the place of eternal torment, that place that Jesus describes as everlasting, eternal torment. So you see, there's something to be saved from. You have the testimony in God's word of God's judgments. You have the testimony of God's sovereign providence in history. You have, my friends, a history replete with the judgments of God. Escape the wrath to come. Flee, my friends, the terror of his judgment into the arms of Jesus, the loving Savior who came and lived and loved and died again so that men and women might escape the judgment of God. When God arises, you see, it's too late. Once he rises up, my friends, that means it's time for action. And when he arises, well, I tell you, it's too late. You need to be reconciled to God before he rises up. In judgment, I mean. You need to trust in him. You need to seek terms of peace with God. And the only terms of peace, I tell you, or rather God tells you, in his word, the Bible. Faith in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. By that, my friends, a man or woman has peace with God alone. The peace with God and the peace of God that passes all understanding. But God judges the world, intervenes, you see, in the wickedness of the world and all its violence. He intervenes, you see, in order to save. Well, the psalmist, he tells us, in order to save the humble. Those, that is, who have humbled themselves under the mighty hand of God, who have acknowledged their sin, who have repented of their sin, and who have put their trust in the Son of God, in Jesus Christ. And so you see, my friends, God often intervenes in the history of his world. He intervenes in the wickedness and the evil of men in order to save his people, to save those who have trusted in him. He doesn't leave them alone to the hands of the ungodly and wicked, but he delivers somehow. By destroying the ungodly, by destroying the wicked and unbelieving, you need to make sure that you're not counted amongst them. That's all that I would say, that you need to be found on the right side amongst the humble, those who have humbled themselves under God's mighty hand, and God himself is exalted. Those, my friends, who have bent the knee before the cross of the Son of God. Those who in humility of faith, you see, have come to the Jesus of the cross, who died in the room in the place of sinners to take their punishment, so that when God arises, when God comes in judgment, they're not found on the wrong side of God, but they are found on his right side, delivered. But all this signifies, you see, that God indeed will vindicate, God will finally judge humankind. The Bible tells us of this. And all the judgments of God recorded in the Bible and recorded in the history of the world, you see, they all point to that one full final judgment when God will judge all humankind. But not to determine the destiny of men and women. That's already been determined. That was determined before the foundation of the world. No, not for that purpose, my friends, but to vindicate God, in order to vindicate His truth, to show, to demonstrate before the whole universe that God was right and man was wrong. Unbelieving, ungodly, wicked, violent, evil men, that they were wrong and God was absolutely right all the time and always. And everything that He ever spoke was right. God will be vindicated in that day. And the mouth of men and women, all their rages and all their arguments today that they bring against Almighty God, every mouth will be stopped. Not a word of argument, not a word of rage in that day when God dismisses you from His presence, His love, His grace, and any comfort that He could possibly afford you will be gone forever, and you will go to your own place. You will go to that place allotted for the wicked and ungodly, the ragers against God, dismissed into eternal flames and torment for all eternity, with no way back to God, no comfort, no consolation, no peace then. But now, my friend, now today is the day of salvation. Now we declare the gospel to you. Now we preach to you Jesus Christ and Him crucified, the means by which the grace of God may be brought to you. The means by which you could be reconciled to God. The means by which you could obtain peace with God. Rightness, righteousness found, my friend, in God's favor. Freely, I tell you, freely preached to you and freely presented to you the gospel, the grace, the free grace of God in Jesus Christ. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord, whom we declare to you here this afternoon, that you might escape the judgment of God, that you might get out from under the wrath of God now revealed from heaven against all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Oh, that you would stop. Oh, that you would cease. Oh, that today you would repent of your suppressing the truth and unrighteousness, that you would relent, and that you would bow the knee, that you would raise the white flag and surrender to God, fighting, raging against the Almighty. A war, a battle, I tell you, that you cannot win. Enmity, hostility in the heart, in your heart against God, not subject to His law, nor can you be. God has this indictment against you, that you hate Him and hate your neighbor, and that will not end well with you. But God has produced, has provided the means by which peace, my friends, could be attained between yourself and God. His Son, Jesus Christ, lifted up, my friends, on that cross to die some 2,000 years ago. But all those who come to that cross, all those who come on bended knee, all those who come in humility, all those who come in faith, believing, trusting in the person of Jesus and in his shed blood, their sins forgiven, acquitted, my friends, acquitted on that day of judgment. No fear for them in the judgment of God. That will be a great day for them. That will be a day of commendation, not condemnation.
Excuse me.
Yes, sir.
You might want to adjust your mic a little bit.
Can you come? I can't hear you.
It's your mic. It's a bit rusty on the sound.
It's a bit...
Like, I can't explain the voice. What's that? It's not that I can hear you from over there. It's that I can't hear you from over there.
You can't hear it.
Yeah, so you might... Can you adjust it a bit?
It is what it is. I can't do anything about it. Okay, thanks anyway.
Anytime.
Cheers, yeah. So as I say, friends, you know, no condemnation for those who have trusted in Jesus in that day. A judgment of commendation, because it is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, trusting in him, that is. Trust in him today. That's what wise men do. But then, of course, the Bible goes on to tell us, you know, that Jesus, that God, you see, well, he says that the wrath of man, even the wrath of man shall praise him. The wrath of man, you see, does not produce the righteousness of God. You bring all kinds of arguments, you know, you rail and you rage against the Almighty, against his servant, against those who would bring the good news of the gospel to you, the means by which you might be reconciled to God. But in your unbelief, in your wickedness of heart, you rage against them. But in doing so, you're raging against God. It's against his truth that you're railing. That will not bring the righteousness of God to you. No, my friends, the way in which to obtain the righteousness of God, one way only, and that's to cease from your raging against the Almighty, still in quiet your heart before him, and consider the things that his servants would say to you. Listen to it. Think about it. Take a copy of God's word home with you. Don't just simply take our word for these things, but take God's word. And consider it, my friends, who knows, but maybe God will give you the light. Maybe perhaps God will command the light to shine into your hearts and minds and reveal to you the knowledge, experiential knowledge of himself in the face of his Son, Jesus Christ, the only one who can bring the righteousness of God to you. So I advise you, it's only advice, my friend. Rage and rail all that you want against the Almighty, but God will be praised, exalted even in the wrath of man. You will not overcome the Almighty. Never, never, never. You rage against his servant, you see, is a rage against the Son of God, the one, my friends, who would be your Savior. Can you imagine the one who would save you from eternal torment? The one who would save you from eternal judgment? The one who would save you from the damnation of hell? And yet you stand before him, not before a man, before the Word of God, the living Word of God, the Son of God, and you cast the truth, you cast his salvation in his face, my friend. That cannot end well. Kiss the Son, lest you be angry, says King David, lest you perish in the way. in the way of your rage, in the way of your anger. What's to be angry about if you really do believe that you are on the right side? If you really do believe that you are right, what's to be angry about? If you truly, honestly believe that there is no God, what is there to be angry about, I ask you? But that's the very reason why you rage and you anger, because you know that God is. And you would tear him from his throne if you would, if you could. You would crucify the Son of God afresh if you could. In fact, that's the very thing that you do every time that you rage in wrath against him. That's the very thing that you do every time you crucify the Son of God afresh. You cannot be saved. You cannot avoid the judgment of God if you continue in that vein. But God will take you, see, men and women, down through the generations, right from the beginning, men and women have lifted their voices. Some powerful figures, powerful men in history, have lifted up their voices in wrath and rage against God and against His Son. And God sits in heaven and He laughs at them. He laughs, He scoffs at them. And He takes their wrath and their rage and He uses it for His own purposes. And when it doesn't suit His purposes, He destroys them along with their wrath. You see, my friend, God is sovereign. He's in control, not you. Here you are, just a tiny, tiny little speck of sinful dust on the horizon of God's universe, and you rage and rail against Him in wrath, and you think that you can prevail? You delude yourself. Many of the delusions from which you suffer in this, the last of the last days, your transgenderism, your sodomy and lesbianism, delusions to the uttermost, I tell you, but no greater delusion than this, that you think that you can rage in wrath against Almighty God and come out on the right side. You're not only deluded, I say to you, you suffer from lunacy, madness even. So you see, my friends, Satan, God's arch enemy, that old serpent, the devil, he has and he raises up his agents in every day and generation to breathe out cruelty and hatred against God's people, against his servants. But my friends, never yet in all the history of God's world, for 'tis God's world, not man. Men think that they have the destiny of the world in their hands. No, that's in God's hands. No, they do not prevail. The end of Satan, the end of that serpent and all who do his will, the lake of fire. So you see, my friend, King David, he goes on to tell us that not even your world rulers prevail. He says here, who cuts off the spirits of princes, rulers that is, who is to be feared by the kings of the earth. You see, my friend, your world rulers, your Merkels and Johnsons, your Bidens, and all the princes of the world, they confer together, they come together in Glasgow, my native city, next month to confer how that they will change the climate of the planet. Fools and blind. Only one person controls this world, its atmosphere and everything in it. And that's God. the one who is to be feared, but your princes, the rulers of this world, they think that they hold the destiny of the world in their hand. God has good news for them. He bids them, he tells them to be wise and to trust in God, who holds all things in his hand, not theirs. They just like you, your princes, your rulers. They are as sinful and wicked, evil and unbelieving, just as the rest of you are in the need of a Savior, my Jesus. He's the Savior. Oh, he doesn't save many of the nobility. Not many princes and rulers are saved. Not many, but some. My friends, the majority are those who are meek and humble, those who in the humility of faith bow, bend the knee before the cross of Jesus, who kiss the Son, lest they be angry and they perish from the way they come tremblingly to the cross. And they bow the knee in submission to King Jesus, the Prince, the ruler of the universe, the world, the climate, and everything in it. Oh, my friend, today, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. You cannot prevail otherwise. You cannot win otherwise, only through faith. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that is. King David would have you, he says, to fear God. Pay your vows, he says to him, acknowledging your due to God, that is. Acknowledging that he, because of him, you live and move and have your being. He who gave you life, he who gives you the breath of life, he who holds your very next breath in the palm of his hand, his to give and his to take away at will. Oh, pay your vows to him. Acknowledge your indebtedness to him. Because of him you have another day of life. Because of him you have another occasion by which you hear the gospel, the good news by which you could be saved and avert the judgment of God, be saved from his judgment now in history and then, of course, at the end. Because you have a profound indebtedness to God. You have a debt of sin, my friends, that you could never, never pay. All the days of your life you were born, you were conceived and you were born in sin. And you've been stashing up wrath for the day of wrath ever since, my friends. Every day, every hour of every day, you sin and you sin and you sin. And it's registering in heaven with God. All those sins of thought and word and deed. All registered. And you give account in that day for every one of them, a debt, I tell you, that you could never pay should you live for a million, trillion years. Only one person, my friends, the one who has already paid the debt in full, dying on that cross. Something dying, not because he deserved to, not because he had some debt to pay, but, my friends, for sinners like you and I. So that our debt could be cleared, the slate wiped clean, everything that you ever thought and did wiped away, gone, my transgressions, now I am free, all because Jesus was wounded for me. Was he wounded for you? Did he die for you? Or will you die in your sin? Will you die with that great debt stashed up against you? And will that debt weigh you down, not just to the grave, but into the waterless pit of hell forever and ever? Oh, my friends, a debt you cannot pay. A debt, my friends, that only Jesus can pay for you. Fear God. Fear God, says King David. Fear God, says Jesus, who not only can kill your body, but cast your soul into everlasting flames. Fear God. Tremble at his word. Fear his name. Trust his Son, Jesus Christ, sent into the world, God, in the immensity of his love, for a sinner such as you, for God so loved the world that he gave the gift of his Son, that whoever believes, simply trusts, rests, not in themselves, not in any religious activity, not in any good works of their own, but rests only in Jesus, trusting in him, washed of their sins, cleansed,
amen,
made whole, saved by the blood of the Lamb, who takes away the sin of the world and would take away yours today, should you but trust and obey his admonition, repent and believe the gospel. Why? Because the kingdom of God is at hand. What's up, young man?
All right, sir.
What are we on today?
Thank you for your blessings,
John.
What are
we on today?
Yeah,
we'll pray for you. We'll pray for you. We'll pray for you. Please. Speak to my friend over there.
Yeah, you're my friend.
And you don't need a savior. Can't you see? Are you still blind? Can't you see the way that you're going? Can't you see that the pathway is the wrong one? Can't you see it, my friend? Can't you see the ravages of sin amongst you and in you yourself? Obey God's Son. Obey his admonition today. Repent, he says. Repent, Hanley. Repent and believe the gospel, because that's how you enter into God's kingdom, and that's the only place of safety from his judgment. Only place, my friend. It's coming. The day is coming when he will rise. And when God rises, it's too late for the world then. When he arises, my friends, judgment, the judge is before the door now. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. Not even tonight. You haven't got tonight, you've only got now. Now bend the knee. Now bow to King Jesus. Now kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way. Now, my friends, never mind the mockers, never mind the sneerers, never mind the screwballs, never mind the wicked and evil. In the quiet recesses of your own heart, now, this moment, cry out to Jesus. Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in faith, in the humility of faith and ask him to save you from sin, judgment and hell. Call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Repent and believe the gospel, Hanley. You'd like to have a copy of God's word. Take with you, read for yourself. Read about Jesus, the lovely, beautiful Son of God, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley. Read about Jesus, my all-sufficient Savior, who says to the uttermost, all those who come to God through him. Read all about him. Read all about him. Jesus, the only Savior, the only one who can deliver you from the present and coming wrath of God. You'd like to have a copy of God's Word offered to you freely, no cost, no obligation to you. You're simply and only for the taking. You'd like one, you come and ask for one. May God bless you, Hanley. Bless you and have mercy. Mercy, I say, on this generation. Mercy upon your precious, never dying souls.